But we know that the policies Labour have already announced will require them to increase taxes on working households by £2,094. My friends, families cannot afford that, and it is our job to make sure that that doesn't happen. Now, I had to take difficult decisions because of COVID, but now we are cutting taxes for workers, for parents and pensioners. And we are the party of Margaret Thatcher and Nigel Lawson, a party unlike Labour that believes in sound money. So today's plans, and you would expect nothing less from Jeremy and me, are fully funded. We will pay for permanent reductions in taxation by controlling the unsustainable rise in working age welfare that has taken off since the pandemic. In this party, we believe that it is morally right that those who can work do work, and that hard work is rewarded with people being able to keep more of their own money. So we will ensure that we have lower welfare so that we can deliver lower taxes. And as Conservatives, we believe that hard work shouldn't be taxed twice. That's unfair. That's why Jeremy has been cutting national insurance contributions that only workers are forced to pay. Our national insurance tax cuts are already worth £900 to the average worker. And we will keep cutting taxes in the coming years, meaning that by 2027, we will have halved national insurance to 6%. That is a tax cut, my friends, worth £1,300 to the average worker. Making more progress towards our long-term ambition to abolish the double taxation on work when it is economically responsible to do so. Now, I also want to say something about the self-employed, because they're the risk-takers, the people who graft hard to make a living, who get our economy growing. They embody the most conservative of values, the desire to build something, to create wealth and opportunity. But setting up on your own means you don't have the same security that those on payroll do. So it must be worth taking that risk. We need to make it worth taking that risk. And that means that their taxes must be cut. So, in the next Parliament, we will scrap entirely the main rate of self-employed national insurance. A tax abolished and enterprise encouraged. We want to encourage more people to become entrepreneurs, to set up their own businesses, to try and make something of it. So we will abolish that tax for millions of our hardest workers and create a new culture of enterprise in our country. We Conservatives want a Britain where setting up a business is as natural as taking a job. So we will do more for the self-employed so that they can do more for Britain. Now, security also means a security of knowing that you will have dignity in retirement. So we will also cut tax for pensioners with the new Triple Lock Plus, ensuring that the state pension is never dragged into income tax. Labour, by contrast, would introduce a retirement tax, meaning that for those who rely entirely on the new state pension, they would be caught by income tax for the first time in our country's history. And we know Labour's record, from the 75p state pension increase to Gordon Brown's £118 billion tax raid on private pensions, it is clear your pension simply isn't safe with the Labour Party. And we Conservatives want to spread opportunity across the whole of our United Kingdom. We don't want you to leave the place that you call home to succeed. And ultimately, that is a test of levelling up. So we will give our young people the skills and opportunities they need to succeed in today's world. We won't cling to outdated ideas, such as the belief that the only route to success is through university. So we will curb funding to rip off degrees and use it to fund 100,000 new high-quality apprenticeships. We will build on the success of our education reforms by introducing the Advanced British Standard, which will enable our young people to receive a broader education and break down the split between technical and academic education that has so held our country back. We'll invest in a new form of national service to give our young people the chance to enjoy new experiences, learn new skills, and feel a sense of community, belonging, and national purpose. National service will help us build a more unified, more cohesive society so that we can be secure in the knowledge that we are all on the same side. And we Conservatives also want to create a society in which everyone has a chance to own. In the last 5 years, we've delivered 1 million new homes. In the next Parliament, we will go even further, delivering 1.6 million new homes by speeding up planning on brownfield land in our inner cities and by scrapping defective EU laws. And we will go further, because we Conservatives believe in tax cuts. So, for young families, for the first-time buyers purchasing a home up to £425,000, we will abolish stamp duty entirely. And that's not all we'll do. We'll also introduce a new form of Help to Buy, a new Help to Buy scheme to get a new generation onto the property ladder, all part of our plan to build an ownership society where more and more people have the security and pride that comes from owning your own home. From Macmillan to Thatcher to today, it is we Conservatives who are the party of the property-owning democracy in this country. In fact, we want to make life easier for people at every stage of their lives. So we'll also give working parents 30 hours of free childcare a week from when their child is 9 months to when they start school. We'll make child benefit fairer and simpler by moving to a household system that no longer penalises single earner households and ensuring that any family that earns less than £120,000 a year will receive it. That tax cut is worth, on average, £1,500 to 700,000 families, showing, once again, it is we Conservatives that are the party of the family, and we will always champion them. And we want all families to have the peace of mind of knowing that the NHS will be there for you if you fall sick. So we will increase NHS funding in real terms every year and train and recruit more doctors and nurses every year. We will make the NHS work better through investing in new technology and reforming how it works. You should know that if your kids have an earache or a sore throat or a chest infection, you can get quick and rapid treatment without having to take time off work, and so we will expand our fantastic Pharmacy First programme. But parents should also feel that it's safe for their children to walk home at night. So we will recruit 8,000 new police officers, one for every neighbourhood, and cut antisocial behaviour through intensive hotspot policing. And we will protect women and girls by guaranteeing single-sex spaces through an amendment to the Equality Act to make it clear that sex means biological sex. Now, Labour like to talk the country down. They want to pretend that everything would be great if they had never left office and pretend that somehow we have not achieved anything. But that's just simply not right. Remember the note that said there's no money left? When Labour left office in 2010, unemployment was higher than when they came into government. Public and private debt was accumulating. The banking system was broken. The deficit was ballooning. And even Labour accepted that after years of spending, significant cuts in public expenditure were required. They went into the 2010 election admitting they would have to make cuts. Labour left Britain on the brink of bankruptcy. Worse, the money that Labour had put into public service had not been accompanied by sufficient reform. Labour's welfare system was more about disguising how many people were out of work than actually getting people back into employment. And for all the money that Labour had put into education, our schools were falling down international league tables. And almost half of Labour's increase in the NHS budget had been swallowed up by higher pay and more bureaucracy. And despite that awful inheritance, we've delivered the third highest rate of economic growth in the G7, created 4 million jobs, 800 a day. With Kemi using our Brexit freedoms to open up new markets, we have now overtaken France, the Netherlands, and Japan to become the fourth biggest exporter in the world. And we Conservatives under David took the difficult decisions to repair the public finances and control the national debt. And that meant that when COVID hit, we could support people and businesses with furlough, deliver the fastest vaccine rollout in the world, and provide record funding to the NHS. We reformed welfare by capping benefits and introducing universal credit. Ian's reforms mean that now work always pays. We've reduced absolute poverty. We've reduced child poverty. We've reduced pensioner poverty. We've cut carbon emissions by a third, maintained our position as NATO's second biggest defence power, and Boris and Ben and Grant put the country at the forefront of defending Ukraine against Russian aggression, because Britain will always stand up to tyrants. We've halved violent and neighbourhood crime, thanks to the work of Home Secretaries from Theresa to Priti to James, and improved standards in our schools. Thanks to Michael's reforms and a generation of inspiring teachers, English school children are not just the best readers in the United Kingdom, they're the best in the Western world. We strengthened our United Kingdom with the forces of separatism in retreat. We legislated for equal marriage, and now it is not even surprising for so many people from diverse backgrounds to sit around our cabinet table. I know you'll agree with me. We may not have got everything perfectly right, but that is a record I am mighty proud of. Now, this country has a proud past and a bright future. And I believe in that innate confidence in ourselves that has always run through our island story. And just as we're proud of all that we created, invented, and discovered in our past, so we can be confident and optimistic about what we will achieve in our future. But I'm not blind to the fact that people are frustrated with our party and frustrated with me. Things have not always been easy, and we have not got everything right. But we are the only party in this election with the big ideas to make our country a better place to live. Labour offer no solutions to our problems. They would only make them worse. And all a vote for reform or the Liberal Democrats does is allow Labour to do whatever they want to our country. Do not forget that Keir Starmer is asking you to hand him a blank cheque when he hasn't said what he'll buy with it or how much it's going to cost you. Just think about what Labour would mean. Higher taxes for every working household. Can you afford £2,000 more in taxes? French-style labour laws that will lead to higher unemployment and more strikes? A ballooning welfare bill? Higher immigration and more net zero costs? Their policies will mean, as they let slip this weekend, bigger class sizes because of their desire to slap VAT on school fees. Labour would cave into the demands of the public sector unions, putting up your taxes to meet the union's extortionate demands. And Keir Starmer will also use that blank cheque to change the rules of the game to his benefit, giving 16-year-olds the vote, not because he believes they are adults. He doesn't want them to serve on a jury or do any of the other things that adults do, but because he thinks they'll vote for him and that will make it harder to remove him from power. If Labour win this time, they'll change the rules so that they are in power for a very long time. So if you don't know what Labour will do, don't vote for it. If you're concerned about what Starmer isn't telling you, don't vote for him. And if you're worried about what Labour's £2,094 of tax rises would mean for your family's financial security, don't vote for them. In conclusion, let me say this. We Conservatives will always stand for our values, for aspiration, for freedom, for opportunity, for security. Your Conservative MP will deliver lower taxes, lower immigration, protected pensions, and a sensible approach to net zero. Now, our country wants a clear plan and bold action. Our country needs a secure future, and it is this Conservative manifesto that will deliver it.
You're listening to LBC. In case you're wondering, Rishi Sunak, the Conservative leader, unveiling the Conservatives manifesto. I'm not sure there was anything brand new in it. I'll double check for you shortly. But I am going to stay with this, despite various entreaties for me not to. You know, this is a general election campaign. He is currently the Prime Minister.
Thank you.
I'm going to stay with it for the questions from the media, which he hasn't really faced properly since that D-Day debacle. The interview
thank
on
you,
the BBC last night, notwithstanding.
Right, we've got lots of questions from the media to come, so the fun hasn't stopped. Here we go. Let's start with GB News.
Prime Minister Christopher Hope from GB News. You stand behind, in front of a slogan saying clear plan, bold action, secure future. Well, why not be bold and commit to pulling out of the ECHR if it keeps stopping the small boats?
Thanks, Chris. I've been clear throughout that I believe that our plan is compliant with all our international obligations. But I've also been clear, and the manifesto is crystal clear, that if we are forced to choose between the jurisdiction of a foreign court, including the ECHR, and our country's national security, then I'm going to choose our country's national security every single time. Next, we go to the FT.
Prime Minister, George Parker from the Financial Times. You represent a northern seat for Richmond. You've seen the opinion polls. You've seen Keir Starmer campaigning in the north of England. Do you reflect on the last 5 years and consider you may have let down the areas you promised to level up, and whether indeed there's a reckoning coming?
George, I don't know if you were here before, but I don't know if you heard the speech from the Conservative Mayor of Teesside, who is right here. And you know, I'll take a second to pay tribute to Ben and all our fantastic MPs in the Tees Valley for what they've delivered for the region. I mean, Ben gave you a flavour of it before, because we've been working together since I became an MP. You talk about the North, Teesside was an area that Labour neglected for decades, took it completely for granted. And it was Ben and our MPs and councillors that transformed the region. And I was fortunate to be able to work with them to help do that. But if you go around Teesside now, every high street and town centre, Eaglescliffe, Yarm, Stockton, Darlington, Hartlepool, is getting investment from our various levelling up funds. The new Brexit-enabled Freeport is creating unbelievable high-quality jobs in the industries of the future. The Treasury campus is in Darlington, and as Ben said, it's one thing for Treasury campus to be in the north, but it's not in Newcastle, it's not in Manchester, it's not in Leeds, it's in Darlington, because towns matter, which is why we're also backing 130 towns across the country, including in the north, with £20 million each, so local people can invest in their priorities. But more than any of that, what Ben and the team have done, what the Conservatives have done, is give everyone in Teesside a sense of confidence and optimism about their futures. Next, we go to the BBC.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Chris Mason, BBC News. For much of the last 18 months, you've tried everything to try and revive Conservative fortunes, and not much appears to have worked. Could we rename this document today your Last Chance Saloon? What do you think is in this that can shift things that perhaps haven't shifted up until now? Thank you.
Well, Chris, I've been very clear when I got this job. We'd been through a very difficult time as a country. But thanks to the hard work and resilience of the British people and the actions of the government, we have truly turned a corner. Inflation back to normal, the economy growing, wages rising, energy bills falling. And that's why this election is right to talk about the future. The future that we want to deliver for our country is one where, above all, families will have financial security because their taxes are being cut. Look at what this manifesto contains. A tax cut for everyone in work as we halve the rate of national insurance. A tax cut for the self-employed, abolishing the rate of self-employed national insurance in the next parliament. A tax cut for pensioners, protecting the state pension from paying Labour's retirement tax in the next parliament, because we believe in a country where you have dignity in retirement. A tax cut for parents, because we want to support working families, making sure that they get support with their children's costs, and a tax cut for all young aspiring homeowners as we abolish first-time buyer stamp duty up to £425,000. That is bold action from this Conservative government, this Conservative Party, to deliver a more secure future. But it doesn't just stop with our tax-cutting agenda. We're spreading opportunity through 100,000 new apprenticeships and a modern form of national service. We're ensuring our border security with a new legal migration cap in Parliament and a plan to get the flights off to Rwanda. And we're ensuring our country's energy security, but also doing it in a proportionate way that lowers people's bills, does not saddle them with extra costs in an ideological pursuit towards net zero. That is the offer in this manifesto, and there is a clear choice at this election. We are the only party putting bold action on the table to transform our country. Labour have nothing to say about the problems our country faces and how best to address them. Nothing. Keir Starmer is asking for a blank cheque, and he will not tell people which taxes he is going to put up that are ultimately going to cost them £2,000. So if you want a secure future, if you want lower taxes, if you want your pensions protected, if you want a more sensible approach to net zero, and you want your border secure, vote Conservative at this election.
I have to say, he looks like he wants to come home early again, but I presume he learned his lesson on Friday from doing that.
Right. Next, Times Radio.
Kay McCann, Times Radio. Prime Minister, Times Radio listeners often tell us that they're fed up that nothing works. They care a lot about the services they use every day. But there is nothing in this manifesto about the billions of pounds of cuts to local councils, to justice, to prisons that are coming down the track in the years ahead. What is your plan to prevent those billions of pounds of cuts? Thank you.
Well, under our plans, Kate, investment in day-to-day public services will continue to rise in the new parliament. It will continue to rise ahead of inflation. But I also think it is reasonable to look for efficiencies in the public sector. And what we've seen is that public sector productivity since the pandemic has declined. It's declined quite significantly. Now, as the Chancellor set out a little while ago, if we just recover those levels of efficiency that we had a few years ago, so nothing heroic, nothing that we haven't done before, that will free up £20 billion. Right? £20 billion that could be reinvested in public services on everyone's behalf without raising a penny of their taxes. So I think that's the right priority. Right? Recover where we used to be before the pandemic, focus on efficiency and productivity, and you can see that in the NHS productivity plan that we have fully funded. And if we do that, that unlocks billions of pounds that we can reinvest back into the front line to deliver better high-quality services for people. Because, of course, I want to see high-quality services, but as a Conservative, I also don't want people's taxes to have to go up when we can get efficiencies to fund them. ITV.
Prime Minister, Tories in government since 2010 have been pushing up the tax burden, the share of national income taken by tax, to levels we haven't seen since the late 1940s. Why should anyone believe you when you say you're going to cut tax?
Well, simply, Robert, because we already have. Look, but I'm upfront with people. I did have to take difficult decisions after COVID. That was the right thing to do. Because when I was Chancellor, I thought the right thing to do was to support our country through COVID. Whether it was supporting the NHS, whether it was a furlough scheme. And when the energy crisis in Europe hit, the right thing to do was to help everyone with their energy bills. Those things don't come for free, and I think everyone watching knows that those things don't come for free. And you don't build our country's long-term financial security by shying away from difficult decisions like that. That's not the type of leader I am. So I did make those difficult decisions. But now that our plan has worked, inflation is down, wages are rising, the economy's growing, we have started cutting people's taxes. This year, everyone in work is getting a £900 tax cut on average, thanks to what Jeremy has done. And we're cutting taxes for businesses, making this the most attractive country in the world for businesses to invest. Something that hundreds of our leading businesses describe as the single most transformational thing that we could do for growth and productivity in our country, delivered it. So yes, people can trust me when I say we're going to keep cutting their taxes. One, because we've set out a very clear plan to pay for it, because I think the welfare bill is growing at an unsustainable rate, and there is an opportunity, again, just to reverse some of the damage that COVID has done to free up an enormous amount of savings that we can reinvest in tax cuts, but also because that's the type of country I believe in. And that's why people can trust me. I believe in a country where hard work is rewarded. That's why I want to cut people's tax when they're working hard. I believe in a country that encourages entrepreneurship and risk-taking and small businesses, which is why I want to cut taxes for the self-employed. I believe everyone should have the ability to own their own home. So I want to cut taxes on stamp duty. I believe if you worked hard all your life, you should have dignity and security in retirement, which is why we want to cut taxes for pensioners. And there is nothing...
You think you've got problems. I've got to get a phone in out of this in 10 minutes.
That's the same for everyone in this room, which is why we want to support families and we want to cut tax for them too. That's why you can trust me. Can I go to the Daily Mail?
Thanks, PM. Jason Gross from the Daily Mail. You're targeting the self-employed here. Do you think White Van Man can swing this election for you? And on the wider picture, there's a lot to say in here about tax, but unless I've missed it, nothing about the overall burden. Can you today guarantee us that if you get in, overall taxes will be lower by the time you've finished?
Jason, because of the measures that are announced in the manifesto, and you can see the document afterwards, the tax burden will be about one percentage point lower in every single year compared to the forecast that you saw at the spring budget a couple of months ago that Jeremy outlined. And, you know, you talked about a particular group. I do think there is something that is special about those who are self-employed. Now, I come from a small business family myself, but those people who are setting out on their own, taking that risk, do something that's incredibly brave. Right? And our economy is built on people like that. They don't have the security of knowing that the paycheck's coming at the end of every month. They're out there working incredibly hard to provide a better life for them and their families, hoping that they can start like that and grow something bigger. And I think that is enormously brave. And they deserve all our admiration, but they also deserve our support. And that's why we want to take the bold action to abolish the main rate of self-employment national insurance in the next parliament, demonstrating not just that we want people to have financial security, but demonstrating our values and the type of economy and society that we want to build. Telegraph.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Ben Morley-Smith from The Telegraph. Manifestos are about policies. They're also about politics. There's 4 weeks to go. You're 20 points behind in the polls. What do you say to those who say the manifesto isn't ambitious enough and that this won't be a game changer?
Well, Ben, just to repeat what I said before, right, the tax cuts that I went through, tax cut for everyone in work that will be worth £1,300 in the next parliament as we halve national insurance, tax cut for the self-employed where we abolish the rate of self-employment, a tax cut for everyone who's wanting to start buying their own home as we abolish the stamp duty for first-time buyers up to 425k, a tax cut for families to support them as they bear their young children, and a tax cut for the millions of pensioners in our society. So yes, I do believe that is bold, and that comes on top of the action we've taken to secure our borders, to get flights off to Rwanda, a new migration cap, and a more proportionate approach to net zero. But the choice of this election is clear, because all elections are ultimately a choice. Either Keir Starmer or I are going to be Prime Minister on July the 5th. If I'm Prime Minister, you will have this bold action. All you've got from the Labour Party is a blank sheet of paper. Not a single big idea that has been put on the table in this election campaign so far.
Labour's manifesto announcement is on Thursday, just in case you were wondering.
National service, which has completely energised conversations everywhere across the country. And yes, not everyone will necessarily agree with it, but no one can deny that it is not bold action that can transform our country, and I think transform our country for the better. Nothing comparable to that from the Labour Party. And so as people think about the choice, yes, of course, there are challenges we face as a country, but they should ask themselves, who has the solutions to those? Who is going to do things that are going to actually deliver the change that you want to see? The only thing that is certain about Keir Starmer and the Labour Party is that they're going to put up everyone's taxes, and they're going to put them up by £2,000, and I'm going to fight very hard to the last day of this election campaign so that that doesn't happen. Okay, Sky News.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Central sell to voters from you is I will cut your taxes, but a recent poll shows that only one in six voters believe you won't raise their taxes or raise major taxes, compared with one in four for Labour. Labour's more trusted on tax than you at the moment. That's your record as Chancellor and now Prime Minister. I'm sure it's a disappointment to you. Haven't you blown it now, whatever you say? Thank you.
Well, Beth, I'm actually very
proud. You can see why I went to GB News first.
Because when I'd had that job 3-4 weeks and a pandemic struck this country, I saw that it was right to do something radical, to do something bold, because that was what was required to help get the country through it. And we delivered on that. Those are my values, those are the values of our party, and we will always be there to protect this country through difficult times. But we're also a responsible party. We're also a party that's not afraid to take decisions that are in the country's long-term interest, even if they're difficult. You saw that with me when I said, yep, we did all these things, but we do need to also pay these things back and secure our children's financial futures. And you saw that with me a couple of summers ago, where I made the same argument again, that it wasn't right then to start cutting taxes until we had tamed inflation, and now that we have, I've delivered on that. So I'm not afraid to do things that are difficult. The only poll that matters is the poll on July 4th, and I'm very confident as we approach that date, the choice will become increasingly clear for people. There is only one party that will continue to cut your taxes after July 4th, and it's the Conservative Party, and there's one party that's going to put them up, and it's the Labour Party, and that choice will be crystal clear. The Sun.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Harry Cole from The Sun. Your manifesto here says that you'll process tens of thousands of outstanding asylum claims within 6 months. But all the Home Office statistics show that speeding up the processing of asylum claims leads to higher levels of approval. When Labour suggested this exact policy, your own ministers called it an amnesty. So is this what your policy accounts to, an amnesty for asylum seekers? And if I may, on Chris's point, you're hemorrhaging support to Nigel Farage. Why on earth not go harder on the ECHR? Why fudge it? Thank you.
So, Harry, that's just simply not right. Last year, thanks to the improvements we've made, we processed more claims than at any point in the last two decades.
Right.
And that has actually helped us release over 100, maybe 150 hotels now back to local communities for normal use. And actually the grant rate, you talk about the grant rate was down last year. It was down. So because we changed how we evaluate the claims, we refused far more than we had in the past. But the choice on migration is quite simple at this election. You know, I believe you need a deterrent. Right? We've done lots of things that have helped us get the numbers down by a third last year, and those are all good and sensible. But in order to fully solve this problem, it just needs to be clear that if someone comes to our country illegally, they can't stay. And that means you need a safe place to send them. That's what the flights to Rwanda will do, establish that deterrent. And I've said what I've said about the ECHR, but I'll also say our Act specifically gives ministers the power to make the decisions on Rule 39 things that are handed down by Strasbourg. I would not have put that power in the bill if I was not prepared to use it, right? And also change the civil service guidance to make it clear that they need to follow the ministerial decisions. But I'd also point out that, as we've seen in the last month or so, multiple other European countries all agree that having a deterrent like that, safe third countries to return people, is a crucial part of solving this problem. So when I made my speech just after becoming Prime Minister, I said on this issue, where we lead, others will follow. That is now happening. The only person who has not got that memo, normally he's very in favour of EU alignment, is Keir Starmer. Right? Could go to the Express.
Thanks, Prime Minister. Steph Spiro from the Daily Express. The manifesto promises a regular rhythm of flights to Rwanda every month as part of a relentless process to remove illegal migrants. Can you put a figure on the number of flights you expect to take off every month or a number of people, please?
No. Steph, we've deliberately not, because we don't want to compromise operational security, but I've been very clear that it's not just about one flight. You do need a regular rhythm of flights because you need to build that deterrent. And what I can tell you is that the airfield is on standby. Illegal migrants have already been detained. Escorts have been trained. The flights have been booked. The caseworkers are already working through it. So all the plans are in place so that if I'm re-elected as Prime Minister, if we are in government, those flights will go to Rwanda and we can build that deterrent. And that's a choice for everyone at this election. If you want the boat stopped, there is no way to do that without having a deterrent. Ours is the only plan on the table. And as I asked Keir Starmer repeatedly the other night, what would you do with the migrants that come here illegally? There simply wasn't an answer. right? Just saying smash the gangs is not a plan. A slogan is not a plan, right? You need to have something to do with illegal migrants. We've got a plan, he doesn't, and that means the situation will just get worse. And I think lastly we have, is it a local democracy reporter?
Hi, sorry, Nadia. I think I've sat on the wrong side.
Yeah.
My name is Nadia Lincoln. I'm the local democracy reporter for Northamptonshire. In the county, we've had a massive problem with SEND children not getting enough provision and not getting the proper education, which has also been reflected nationally. In the most recent report, it found that there were systemic and widespread problems. Why have these families been let down for so long, and what would a Conservative government do to help them?
Yeah, thanks, Nadia. And we want to make sure that children everywhere and regardless of their backgrounds get all the support and the opportunities they need to live fulfilling and thriving lives. When it comes to SEND in particular, we've raised the funding by about 60% overall over this parliament. I don't have the figures off the top of my head for Northamptonshire, but what we talked about in the manifesto is to open many more SEND free schools, which is in the manifesto and funded, because we know that provision needs to increase, and the manifesto makes specific provision for that, because as I said, this is about making sure children, no matter where they grow up in our society, have all the opportunities to be supported and to thrive, and that will always happen under a Conservative government.
Good. Thank you very, very much.
12:47 is the time, so we'll take a quick breather, I think, and then when we come back, you can tell me what you made of all that. And you can do so, you can book your place on that merry-go-round by dialing 0345 60 60 973. So, I obviously can't do a lot if you have turned your radio off in protest. But if you did stick it out, the duration, just tell me what you thought. And I want some. I don't just ring in and say, "God, that was boring." There is something odd about the energy levels. We'll discuss this shortly. But I genuinely want to know what you made of that. Stuart's been in touch. He says, "Please, can we have a motoring phone in, James?"
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
Launching his manifesto to get your vote, Rishi Sunak says Labour has no solutions for you. Does he?
Sheila Fogarty on LBC.
When Danielle from Southampton sold her car with Motorway, she got more money. She put that extra money towards everything she needed to welcome her first child. Plus, the process was so quick and easy, it was one less thing to think about.
Who got more money with Motorway? That's right, Mummy did. Oh, yes, she did.
Babies love me. Sell your car the more money way, where 84% of sellers sold for more. Motorway. Validated against two independent sources. Visit motorway.co.uk/claims.
This summer is for sharing. Introducing McDonald's new chicken share boxes with chicken McNuggets, selects, and a choice of dips. Perfect for ordering in when the big game's on. Or if you're making the most of the sun with mates. Order now on McDelivery or in-restaurant. Available until the 3rd of September 2024. Serve from 11 a.m. Subject to availability.
With the Club Lloyds account from Lloyds Bank, you can get 12 months of Disney Plus and stream unmissable TV series like FX's Welcome to Wrexham, award-winning movies like Poor Things, and family favourites including Mary Poppins. Now that's what I call a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious offer. With something for everyone, Club Lloyds is the inclusive bank account with exclusive benefits. Search Club Lloyds. £3 monthly fee may apply. Account opening subject to status. UK residents 18 plus. Disney Plus subscription required. T's and C's apply.
It started with a rusty bike. I was clearing out the garage and I found my old one that I hadn't ridden for years. So I searched how to fix up a bike on TikTok. I found loads of videos on there, like how to fix a chain, change the brakes and mend a puncture. That led me to a video about local bike routes around Manchester. Turns out, there's a nice one that goes past work. So I started cycling in. Now it's only me that's a bit rusty. It starts on TikTok.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company with 50 years experience and the only one to receive the Queen's Award for Innovation twice. from Boots, pharmacies and vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see vitabiotics.com.
It's 2024. We can use robots to clean our flats. Order Kung Pao chicken with our watches. And,
hey, play my tune.
Playing your playlist.
And now there's a better way to do energy. With OVO's energy savings account, Beyond, you could save cash today and bank greener rewards for tomorrow. Now that's a first. Search OVO Beyond. Discounts include bill savings by using energy at greener times. Smart meter required. For terms and eligibility, search OVO Beyond.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with James O'Brien.
It is 12:51. I do think it's worth reflecting upon what the combined audience of GB News and Times Radio is at the moment, and then noting that he didn't take questions from Channel 4 News, The Guardian, or LBC, which means that Natasha Clark went all the way to Silverstone for nothing. Almost, Natasha. What did you make of it all?
You win some, you lose some, James. I hope the Labour leader, Sir Keir Starmer, when he unveils his manifesto, will get LBC a question later on this week. So fingers crossed for that. But anyway, final roll of the dice for Rishi Sunak today. This is one of the last moments that he's got to try and convince the country, try and pull the Tories out of this death spiral that they appear to have got themselves in. We've obviously got 24 days to go till everyone goes to the polls. And this Tory manifesto today, lots of it, of course, already what we did know, but there are some new bits today. And he's hoping that that will be enough to revive the Tory fortune and to pull them finally up in the polls. And the main offering today, his headline offer, is a new tax cut, the abolition of national insurance by the end of the next parliament.
Setting up on your own means you don't have the same security that those on payroll do. So it must be worth taking that risk. We need to make it worth taking that risk. And that means that their taxes must be cut. So, in the next parliament, we will scrap entirely the main rate of self-employed national insurance.
And the Prime Minister, I thought, quite honest with the fact that he thinks and he knows, he recognises people are very fed up with him and very fed up with the Conservative Party. But he claims that he is the only one with the ideas to help create that better future.
But I'm not blind to the fact that people are frustrated with our party and frustrated with me. Things have not always been easy and we have not got everything right. But we are the only party in this election with the big ideas to make our country a better place to live.
And a few of those new ideas that's just been revealed in the Tory manifesto, which has just been published, a 25-year starting prison term for those found guilty of domestic murder, the requirement for rapists and serious sexual offenders to serve all of their sentences behind bars, banning protests outside of schools, a cap on social care costs from October 2025. Previous administrations will recognise that's exactly the kind of promise that brought down Theresa May and her manifesto when she was riding high in the polls. No promise to leave the ECHR, as some Tories were fighting for, but will include a promise to reform our asylum laws. Buried in the small print in there, a ban on phones in schools to become mandatory, 2 hours of PE a week for all pupils, crackdown on poor degrees, more apprenticeships. But look, James, will this change the polls? That's what everybody's going to be asking today. Is this going to be enough? Is it bold enough to really woo people back over to the Conservatives? I'm not sure it is. He didn't appear to be hugely fired up today. I think he appeared a little bit tired as well. And we are only halfway through this campaign. Labour have already said it's a Jeremy Corbyn manifesto. That is quite a claim coming from Keir Starmer, who, let's not forget, campaigned for two Jeremy Corbyn manifestos. They're going very hard on that attack and going very hard on the tax line today. Rishi Sunak, just a few minutes ago, promised that the tax burden would come down every year of this parliament. But really, are people going to believe this guy? The guy that repeatedly put up taxes, the guy that repeatedly promised to cut them and has cut them twice, obviously now in the past sort of year or so. But really, it hasn't moved the polls at all. We've still have the highest burden in modern times. Labour say the Conservatives have raised taxes 21 times in the past. Parliament, can anybody really trust them after 14 years? And I think Rishi Sunak, with what he said earlier today, acknowledges that frustration, acknowledges that people want a change. But this is really his last roll of the dice to try and turn that around before we go to the polls on July 4th.
There's still 23 or 4 days, isn't there, until, I mean, we're not even at the three-week mark. And I'm interested that you picked up on the energy levels. I think of that rally that Neil Kinnock famously conducted when he was accused of behaving as if he'd already won the election in, it'd be 92, wouldn't it? And of course he didn't. And he shouted, this almost felt like the opposite of that. This was curiously stuffing free, wasn't it? It was incredibly flat for what is, as you say, not only a very important event, but possibly the last roll of the dice.
Yeah, just pumping through the music through the speakers and having a lot of activists in the room doesn't really create a buzzy atmosphere for these sort of things. And it did feel that those activists were putting it on a little bit. And even the cabinet, you know, whooping and clapping in the front row, it all felt a bit fake. It all felt a bit like they're just putting on a show for us all to try and gee us all up into thinking that this might still be possible to win. But privately, so many Tories, so many former MPs and so many potential candidates that want to be real elected are privately admitting that they think this election is already lost. Can this turn it around? Like I say, lots of new ideas in this manifesto, but really I think, for you know, if you look at the polls, if you look at what people are saying, if you listen to our callers day in, day out, many of them feel that they just want a change, they just want someone different. Is this going to be enough to revive the Tory fortunes? It doesn't feel like it will be.
Before you go, what question would you have asked if he'd had the courtesy to invite you to ask one?
Well, I had a few up my sleeve, James. One of the ones that was nicked by a rival broadcaster was, why can we trust you to deliver all these promises when you've repeatedly, and the Conservatives have repeatedly, done so? I also wanted to ask him about reform. They're, of course, just a couple of points behind in the polls at the moment. And I wanted to ask him if he really feels that this is enough to see off that threat from reform. There's a potential that we could see the Tories fall behind reform in the polls in the next few days and weeks. And if that happens, it really is end game for them. So those would be two up my sleeve if I had had the chance. And yes, who knows, maybe later this week the Labour leader and potentially will be feeling a little bit more lenient to LBC. We'll see.
Natasha Clark, thank you for that. And thank you for travelling all the way to Silverstone to cover the launch of the manifesto by a party leader who couldn't even pay you the basic courtesy of allowing you to ask a question, but found time for organisations who can count their audience on one hand. Extraordinary, I suppose, if you're a billionaire setting up a television station. That's what you're paying for, isn't it? Patronage from the actual Prime Minister. That's it for me for another day. We're going to do it all again tomorrow. Thank you for sparing me from having to take calls on that. Unfortunately, Sheila Fogarty isn't going to enjoy quite the same reprieve.
Well, this was my plan all along, was to do this. So it's fine. It's fine.
If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player, the official LBC app, where you can also pause and rewind live radio. Download it now for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Tom Swarbrick. But now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
It's nice to have it fresh out of the oven, I like to think.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
Fresh out of the oven.
Oven ready. No, for you.
So listen, Rishi Sunak clearly wanted you to think about the future, not the past 14 years. This tax cuts mantra, he used the term tax cut, the words tax cuts, many, many, many times in that speech launching the Conservative manifesto for the general election. And I need to know from someone cleverer than me how that differs from what Liz Truss intended to do. Because she was the tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts Prime Minister, wasn't she? And look where that left us. All kinds of things to talk about in here. So let's do that for at least an hour, a couple of hours probably. Let's talk about it, whether your dial is moving.
On your radio, on Global Player, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain.